Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 9 through 12 is our text this morning. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Last couple Sundays, we've been in that passage of Scripture where Eve is seen as bringing forth two sons, Cain and Abel. And we have looked at how in the process of time, as they've grown and matured, that they both brought sacrifices to the Lord. Sacrifices, I believe, that they had been instructed to bring, was the custom for them to bring, and that they understood they should bring. And one brought the works of his hands, the fruit of the ground, the product of the sin-cursed earth. And God had no respect for it. God rejected it as he always rejects the works of man's hands. Abel brought the sacrifice of an innocent. He brought the precious blood, as was what God used in chapter 3 to cover the sins of his parents, Adam and Eve. And God had respect unto Abel's offering because it was done the right way with the right means. And we read in our text from technically 2 weeks ago, in verse number 8, it says, Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The first murder, the first killing of an innocent man, as Scripture records for us. And as we look at the text from last week, and we look at the text this morning, we can easily come to the conclusion that it was a bloody murder. Cain slew Abel's his brother's blood, and the ground soaked in that blood. And that blood cried out to God for justice, for vengeance. He slew his brother in a most brutal way, shedding his brother's blood. And there are a couple commentators that label this portion of Scripture the trial. Matthew Henry is one in particular that calls this portion of Scripture we read today the trial. We see in verse number 9 what could be seen as the arraignment. Verse number 9, the plea. Verse number 10, the witnesses, or the prosecution. Verse number 11, the conviction. Verse number 12, the penalty. You can see God calling Cain before him and bringing the charges against him, convicting him, and then judging him and pronouncing judgment. Let's just look at these verses, not in light of that thought of the trial, but just as the Word of God relates to us, Cain's being called before God. Verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel? Where is Abel thy brother? God comes before Cain the same way he did Adam and Eve. He comes knowing where he is, knowing what he's done, but he comes with probing questions. He asked Adam and Eve, where are you? Have you eaten of that forbidden fruit? Here he comes before Cain, knowing what Cain has done, with similar probing questions. By the way, Cain, where's your brother? Where's your brother? Where's Abel? Cain knew exactly where Abel was. Because I believe the scripture indicates to us that not only had he slain his brother, but it looks to me as though he had buried his brother and hidden the body. Nobody else may have seen it. Nobody else may have known about it. But Cain knew what he had done. And Cain knew exactly where his brother had been slain. Where's your brother? Is the question that God asked Cain. And Cain pleads, not guilty. I didn't do anything. I don't know where he is. He not only declares, I know not, I don't know where he is, but he covers up the first murder that we find recorded in Scripture. He covers that up with a lie. I don't know where he is. Am I supposed to know? Am I my brother's keeper? Just like his parents, Adam and Eve refused responsibility. Cain refuses responsibility and tries to avoid responsibility as God calls him before him. In verse number 10, and he... The he there is God. And he said, what hast thou done? Another question, another probing inquiry. Where's your brother? What have you done? We see here in this 10th verse, God calls witnesses. He calls for the evidence of what Cain has done. What hast thou done? Well, I know what you've done. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I know what you've done. I know your guilt. Nothing is hid from me. Nothing is secret. I see and I know everything. What hast thou done? You've killed your brother. His blood cries out from the ground. His blood cries out from the ground. Speaks out. Justice, vengeance. There is a line. We talk a lot about lines, and there's a lot of lines throughout Scripture, but there is a line throughout the scriptural record of innocent blood that has been shed. And there, I think, can't remember the book now, it's in the New Testament, it speaks about the blood of Abel, innocent Abel, still cries out, still speaks. Blood has been spilt. Sounds a lot like what Moses did. Moses killed a man. He killed an Egyptian. Similarly, Moses killed an Egyptian and then hid the body. And then he fled for 40 years, I think, total. Verse number 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth. Keep this line going in your mind. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and sinned. That brought a curse upon the ground. That brought a curse upon the earth. And Cain brought the fruits of the earth, the fruits of that cursed earth, before God, thinking it would be acceptable. Brought it proudly, I think, thinking it should be good enough for God. It was good enough in Cain's estimation. But here, God curses Cain from the earth. So the earth is cursed. God pronounces a curse upon Cain from the earth, meaning he's never going to be able to take roots. He's never going to be able to be settled. He's never going to be able to call a particular place home. He's not going to be able to take roots. God has cursed the earth. But here, God curses Cain from the earth. The earth is not going to do you any good. The earth isn't going to give you any shelter. The earth isn't going to protect you. The earth isn't going to be a place for you to find safety or security. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. You've slain your brother, spilt his blood into the earth, the cursed earth, and now you're cursed from the earth. You have defiled the earth with the innocent blood of your brother. Part of the curse in verse number 12 says, when thou tillest the ground, he was a tiller of the earth. He brought that which he had raised and by tilling the earth before God, and it was rejected. And God says in verse number 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. You're going to till the ground, you're going to try to till the ground, but the earth that is cursed, you're cursed upon it. And the earth that is cursed and is not able to bring forth as it was originally designed, it's going to be hindered even more by this curse, this consequence that I'm placing upon you. It's like he's going to plant crops, trying to provide food for himself and his family, and the earth isn't going to produce like it was meant to. And now there's a double curse. It's not going to produce anything which is sustainable to the needs of Cain. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. You will be a fugitive word fugitive means a fleeing one. You will always be fleeing. You will always be moving. You will always be going. You'll not take root. The earth will not bless and bring you forth enough to provide for your needs. You're going to be a fugitive. You're going to be a vagabond. The word vagabond is a wanderer. You're going to be cursed from the earth, not able to take roots. You're going to be a fleeing one. You're going to be a wanderer. The earth will not satisfy. And you'll never, ever, never, ever be able to settle and make roots. So the Lord said unto Cain, "Where's your brother?" The Lord said unto Cain, "What hast thou done?" God brings judgment upon Cain. "Now thou art cursed from the earth. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not be able to bring forth according to your needs." And I want to notice just two or three things from this passage of Scripture in our time together this morning. I want you to notice how Cain's evil attitude soon turned into action. You see, when the offerings were brought, one was received, one was rejected, Cain immediately got mad. He immediately had an attitude. And here's a case where an attitude could have a picture taken of it and you could see it. I've told you before about a district manager I used to have who didn't want you to talk about somebody having a bad attitude because you can't take a picture of an attitude. Look at their behaviors. Look at what you can take a picture of and work on those things. That may be true many times, but here's a case where Cain had a bad attitude. And you could take a picture of it. The Bible describes it. You could see his countenance. You could see upon his face, he didn't like it all that God rejected his offering, that God had respect unto his brother's offering. And God spoke those words, "Cain, what are you upset about? If you do well, if you do right, won't you be accepted?" And I don't know if it was something you took issue with or offense with, but it was like God was telling Cain he had a second chance. "You've brought the works of your hands. That's not what I require. That's not acceptable. I reject that. But if you'll do right, won't you be accepted?" Amen. Sounds like Cain is being given another opportunity to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. But he has an attitude. And that attitude keeps him from doing right. That attitude prevents him from being able to do that which is acceptable and his being received by bringing another offering at another time. Look with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 14 and 15. Well, let's read 16 too. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." When lust has conceived. Lusts can refer to one's passions. It can be seen as referring to anger. Anger is a passion of man. And we see in Cain anger. He's mad. His passion is ruling over him. And we see in this 15th verse, first comes lust, that passion, or anger in Cain's case. First comes lust, that brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. You can see all three of those things in Cain's example. His passions flared up. His lusts were conceived, were brought forth, and he had these feelings towards God, towards his brother. And that passion, that anger brought forth sin, and the end result of sin is death. Now, looking at specifically physical death, but it's just the course of our passions. Our passions left unchecked bring forth sin, and sin always brings forth death, some way, shape, or form. The wages of sin are always death. And we see here that Cain's evil attitude soon turned into action. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't just do what was right. That evil attitude soon became an action. And he ended up killing his brother. The end result, obviously, being death. And there's a lesson for everybody here. There's a lesson here for every one of us. Bad attitudes, evil attitudes, left unchecked, left unrestrained, left from being brought before God, evil attitudes soon turn into actions, which are always sin. And sin is always going to result in the death of the innocent. Attitude is something we could take a picture of in regards to Cain. And many of God's people have attitudes you can see in their face. You can take a picture of it and say, here, this is what it looks like. If you're not careful, you're going to find out what James tells us, and you're going to find out what Cain learned. You're going to find out for yourself. Evil attitudes soon turn into actions, and the result is death. Check your attitude. Repent. Confess. Ask God to forgive you of your uncontrolled passions, your anger, your attitudes. If you don't, it's going to turn into an action that you can't undo. There's nothing Cain could do to bring his brother back. There was no going back at this point. He's slain his brother, slain him viciously, most likely hidden his body somewhere in the earth, buried him if you would. His attitude ended up in actions that ended up in death and sin, and he couldn't undo it. And if we don't let the Holy Spirit check our attitudes when they're evil and ungodly, they're going to end up the same way. And they're going to end up causing consequences that you can't undo. You can't change. You can't go back. You can't erase. When God's questions, are not met with repentance, judgment comes. Judgment comes. We can only imagine. If God had come to him and said, if you do well, wilt thou not be received? If he had repented, if he had confessed that rotten attitude he had, by the grace of God brought it in the check and did that which was right. We can only imagine the picture we'd be looking at here in this portion of Scripture instead of the picture we're looking at as God calls him to pay up. When God's questions are not met with repentance, when I say God's questions, I'm talking about those questions he asks you. Those questions he asks me. See, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God within you. What does God do when you sin? What does God do when your life gets messed up? What does God do when you get that bad attitude? Well, if you're truly saved and the Spirit of God dwells within you, God does exactly what he did with Cain. God does exactly what he did with Adam and Eve. He's going to come and he's going to ask you some questions. You've been there. I've been there. We've all been there. If we've been saved any time at all, there's been situations where our life got totally messed up. And God came to us and said, hey, where are you? Why are you here? What are you doing here? And most can probably testify to the consequences of those questions not being followed by repentance, but by going the route that Cain did. Evil attitudes will soon bring forth actions that may be irreversible. When God comes asking you and me questions about where we are, what we've done, he's looking for repentance. He's looking for confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I see in this passage of Scripture, murder is a crying sin. He's killed his brother. And God says, I know what you've done. You've killed your brother. And the blood of your brother cries forth from the ground. Murder and the killing of an innocent person, I believe, cries out to God. The blood of innocent people, going back through all the annals of history, has cried out to God. And God gets vengeance and God gets justice. And there won't be a one, including Abel, that doesn't get that shedding of blood dealt with. Murder is a crying sin. It cries out to God for justice. But let me tell you something. Hate and despising your brother or your sister cries out to God. Just as murder does, because Jesus Christ equates murder with hatred. and the despising of our brothers and sisters in Christ. God help us if we have an attitude and it's directed at anybody in particular, and God brings questions before us in an attempt to get us to repent and get right, and we don't. God help us if we have an attitude that becomes action, and that action is despising and hating a brother. These sins cry out to God. Numbers chapter 32, 23 says, "Be sure your sins will find you out." Be sure. Cain learned that, didn't he? Adam and Eve learned that. Luke 12, verse 2 says, "Nothing covered shall not be revealed. Nothing hid shall not be made known." Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "God is not mocked. That which you sow, that shall you also reap." And this is something I believe Scripture teaches. The victim that is slain, the victim that is hated, the victim that is despised, the brother or sister that we are angry with and don't want it to get it right, and refuse to get it right. If we're really saved, that's a big if. If we're really saved, the blood of that victim cries out to our conscience. If you can hate, and you can despise, and you can be angry with, and be in a state of perpetual anger, not caring, not curbing, not trying to restrain that attitude from becoming irreversible action. If you can do these things and God not come and ask you questions, if you can do these things and harbor these feelings and God not come to you and say, "Why? Where are you? What have you done?" You've got a serious question about whether or not you're saved. Because God's true people always have the Spirit of God within them, bearing witness to all things. The blood of the innocents cries out to our conscience. And if we can kill and maim and hate and despise those who call themselves our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it not bother our conscience, God help us. Cain's evil attitude soon became action. When God came to Cain with his questions, he was looking for repentance. He was looking for confession. Cain had done something. He'd slain his brother, slew his blood upon the earth, and the ground had soaked that in. God's creation that we just were reading about in chapters 1 and 2 has now been defiled by the shedding of innocent blood, the blood of a victim. And God questions and God asks why. And when we are questioned by God and God asks us why, there's something wrong with us if we don't lay it out before Him and say, "God, forgive me." New Testament puts it this way. If you come to the altar of worship, you come to the altar with your sacrifice, and you remember, you hate a brother, you're angry with a brother, you despise a brother or sister in Christ, they've really torqued you off. And instead of getting that rid of and free of yourself, you harbor that. The Bible says you come to the altar thinking you're going to worship God. Stop. You can't. You're not going to. What you need to do is go to that brother. Go to that sister. Go to that one you've offended. And get right. I don't want to sound too human or humanistic. But God brought the situation before Cain and was free to him what he did with it. Same is true with us today. Whatever the situation might be, God comes to us with a second chance. Says, if you do right, won't you be received? That statement will never be the same to me ever again. I've seen so much in it that I've never seen before. Is God saying to you, is God saying to somebody here, here's your second chance. If you'll do right, if you'll go to that person, if you'll confess, if you'll repent, if you'll acknowledge that attitude, if you'll nip it before it goes too far. If, it's God speaking. And as the song leader comes, musician comes, if you're here, lost in your sins, I can't put it any plainer than just to tell it like it is and let God sort it out. If you're here and you're lost in your sins and you know you're lost, you know you're lost. By bringing you into this place, God is giving you another opportunity. God has given you a second chance to repent and to believe and to be saved. God has brought you in here like he's brought you in many times before, and you only left unchanged. God has brought you here again this morning, brought you in, and you don't have to leave like you came out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do right, will you not be blessed? Will you not be received? Let's sing, brother.